Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading verses 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, this season that we celebrate is indeed a season of rejoicing, but we cannot ignore the opposition to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. It's not all nice environment. Not everyone celebrates. And for us to ignore that aspect is a dangerous thing. We need to realize that there is opposition. And of course, we have in our passage, we have this stark contrast, whereby we have people coming from foreign countries, men from the east, and we have people in Jerusalem, Herod, and the Jewish leaders. And what a contrast there is between their responses to this glorious news that a king has been born. I mean, that's not the way you would expect it to go. You would expect that Jerusalem would be happy. You would expect that the people of God would be happy, and that they would be celebrating, and that the nations of the world would be fearful that a king has been born. But it's the opposite. It's the opposite. As I say, strange concept, because even when we read from Isaiah 53, how does it begin? Who has heard our report? In other words, who's eager to listen to what we have to say? This great truth that, Lord, you revealed to us, to Isaiah, and you want me to take it to the people of Israel, people of Israel, not to the world. He's not saying, oh, the world doesn't listen to us. He's talking about Israel. Who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? They're not going to listen. And when we started this season, we began, of course, with John's Gospel and chapter 1. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Light has come into the world, but the world did not comprehend it. It didn't want it. It wanted to put the light out because their deeds were evil. So this season has in it opposition to the very central message of this season. And we have it in our own day and age, where people would expect, foreigners would expect, when they're coming to this country or Western countries, they would expect that this is a very important and great season. So if they come, they would expect to be hearing about this king that has been born. But that's not what they will hear, is it? They would find it strange that all the celebrations that go on really and rarely mention the Lord Jesus Christ. Rarely mention the gospel. In fact, they would hear that people really don't want to talk about those things. I mean, churches can do it by themselves somewhere, but don't bring this thing out into the public. What a shock. What a shock for foreigners that think, and as I say, that there's a debatable thing, think that the Western countries are Christian nations. And so they expect that they will find a focus upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they would be shocked, and no doubt are. So this passage reminds us of that. It reminds us of that element that we have to take into account. There are people and forces that are at work to dampen our celebrations and to keep them quiet because they don't want to hear these things and don't want the world to hear those things either. And we should not be complicit in that. We should not do anything that encourages that or promotes that. We need to bring this wonderful gospel out for people to hear and focus their attention on it and not so busy ourselves with all kinds of things that really takes people's attention away from these things. So this passage then reminds us of the fact that this gospel, this hope that we have, is a global hope. This is not a season of celebration just for Christians. This celebration is a result of the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's for the nations of the world. And here we have it. That God divinely reveals this wonderful truth to Gentiles. Notice that this is not a result of the Jews sending people over to the east and telling them about all of these things, and they coming as a result of that. No, no, no. These people did not come because they had an invitation to come. Well, who brought them then? Who brought them? God brought them. It was always God's intention. In the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth were to be blessed. Adam is the father of all the nations of the world, not just the Jews. So the promise that God made to Adam and Eve is for all the nations of the world. And though God worked through the Israelites to accomplish his purposes in terms of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry and his death, that certainly did come through the Israelite nation. It was never intended to stay there, which is eloquently shown us by the Lord Jesus Christ's command to his disciples and to the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But Lord, they have their own religions. There is no other religion. There is no other way. There is no other name given among men whereby we are to be saved. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There is no salvation apart from me. And so go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so it is God's initiative that reveals to these men, by means of a star in the east, that something very important had happened. And so God reveals to them. Now, the ins and outs of that revelation, I don't know. We're not given that. We're certainly given that a star appeared and their attention was drawn to the star. But whatever else they knew from the Jewish teachings, from synagogues in their area, we don't know. But certainly enough was revealed to them that they were so excited that they were going to travel that whole distance to search. I mean, can you imagine? They didn't even know where they were going. They didn't have an address. They didn't have a GPS system. They had nothing. They went. Why? Because of the tremendous news that they had received. They made an effort. And they took their gifts and they traveled and they followed that star. And of course it brought them to Israel, to Jerusalem. They did say, we don't get along with these people. We don't like these people. We're not going. This is a foreign nation. After all, we have our own nations. We're intellectual people as well. Why do we have to travel over there? God, why don't you do it over here? We don't have to go over there. And that's the way people are. They're partisan, nationalistic. The gospel isn't about that. It isn't about that. So when they heard that a king had been born, and as it said, king of the Jews, king of the Israelites. But he was their king too. And so they weren't put off by that. No, they traveled to that nation. You know, that's the way it is with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are churches in nearly all the nations of the world. It's strange that those people of faith don't say, oh, but it's not our religion. It wasn't homegrown. It's from the Jews and we don't like the Jews. Or it's in the West and we don't like the West. There's no barriers for them because they're not after those things. They're after God himself and the gospel that he brings to them. And so they don't allow these barriers, these walls that people put up and nations put up. No, no, no. What we're searching for and what we're going for is much more important than those things. And so they traveled, and as I say, they came to Jerusalem. And here they ask, where is he that has been born King of the Jews? And there was just a stare coming back at them. They had no clue. Herod had no clue. The religious leaders had no clue. There weren't any celebrations arranged. There weren't events arranged. This was totally something that they had overlooked. They hadn't focused on that at all. And it was only the question that they asked that brought it to the forefront. King of the Jews? What are you talking about? Is there any truth to this? Says Herod, concerned, worried about his own position. And so they have to go and ask. And so he asks. But they listened to what God had revealed to them. And they acted on it. They had unquenchable yearning that drew them. And they made all the effort in the world. Sometimes we get so busy we can't make the effort to come to church, never mind other things. I mean, what does that say? What does that say? These people traveled this whole distance. And they didn't know all the things that we know. All they knew that this king had been born. But they didn't have the details about what this king was going to do and accomplish and everything like that. They didn't know that. But they made all of that effort. But we know everything that he's done for us. We know that he gave his life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that he suffered his whole life for us. And yet, there are times when we don't have enough effort to come and worship him. We don't have to leave our town. We don't have to travel for days. Maybe we have to travel 20 minutes or 25 or half an hour. People of God, we should be an example to the world. That when the Lord's Day comes, there is eagerness on our part to attend the church of God and to worship him, and that we don't make excuses, and that we do it with all of our heart and all of our soul. And it's not just something that we perhaps have a mind to do when we've got nothing else to do. These visitors brought shame on Jerusalem and shame on Herod. Because they were here, first in line. But there was nobody in Jerusalem. And they were activated to worship him. They came to bow down before him. But what was Herod's response? What was the response of his own people? As I said, Herod had no clue. And so he goes, he gathers the Jewish leaders together and says, hey, what all this thing about the king of the Jews being born? What, is there any truth to this? I mean, what are these people talking about? And lo and behold, they immediately tell him about Micah 5 and verse 2. Well, they said, the prophet says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So, they knew where it was, in terms of the passage. They knew that truth, but no one was looking for it. No one was excited about it. No one was inquiring as to when this would happen. You might say, well, you know, the Gentiles had a star, but the Jews didn't have a star. No, they had God's word for hundreds of years. They had God's revelation for hundreds of years. And they let it sit on the shelf. And now when they're asked, oh yeah, here it is. But what does it mean to you? Why aren't you excited about it? And so when Herod does hear about it, and then they hear about it, as I said, they're not very happy about it. They're not rejoicing. They're not setting up to have events in place. Not at all. They're worried. They're troubled. Jerusalem is troubled. The Gentiles are celebrating and coming to look, but they are troubled. Why? Why? Because they had concern about their own positions. A ruler? I'm the ruler. I'm Herod. He's coming to replace me? The whole thing is twisted backwards. Psalm 2 speaks about the kings of the nations not wanting to submit themselves to God's anointed, wanting to cut off ties. Now it's changed. The Gentile nations have sent representatives to witness the birth of this king and to worship him. The people themselves, God's people, where he was going to set up his kingdom, they don't want anything to do with it. They want to rule themselves. And so both the chief priests and Herod are concerned. And though they had this knowledge, look how they use it. So Herod says to these men, he says, go and find him. And when you found him, then come back and tell me where he is, that I might go as well and worship. So this great event that has happened, you are content to sit here and wait until somebody else goes and looks at it. You know, you may not have be interested in those things, but a new Star Wars movie is coming out. And I heard people are camping outside already. Another week and a half to go. And they're camping outside because they want to be first. And we have that from time to time, right? Movies come out and people get so excited, they dress up, you know, and they go. What excitement comes into their hearts and minds? There was no excitement on the part of Herod. There was no excitement on the part of the Jewish leaders. They didn't go to Bethlehem. We don't find a whole crowd went to Bethlehem. No, not at all. They've said it with their own lips and they did nothing. Herod did nothing. That already tells you they had no interest. They had a plot. They had a scheme. And he wanted them to come back and tell him where he was so that he could go and kill him. That was his aim. But no excitement. No joy. No worship. People go, however nicely dressed up unbelief is, at its core, it is exactly this. Unbelief's core idea is to reject and to destroy God. However nice your neighbors may be, however loving your children, your spouse, your relatives might be, unbelief has exactly this motive. They want to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to wipe him off the face of this earth. They don't want to hear about him. And they certainly don't want to see him reflected in your words and in your actions. That was Herod's response. And we'll see this evening the extent to which he would go. Not only to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, but all the children in that vicinity he wanted to destroy. That's what unbelief is like. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but rather prepared for him a cross upon which to crucify him. And the Jewish leaders plotted through all the life of the Lord Jesus Christ how they might catch him and arrest him and have him put to death. And we see it here. Even when he was born, he hadn't said anything yet. He hadn't done anything yet. But his very presence activated that hatred of Psalm 2 and verse 9. But lest we be disheartened with all of these things, we are given the example of these wise men that came. They did come to worship. Grown up as they were, and wise, talented we might say, educated, yet they found themselves on their knees before this infant. They understood who he was. And they brought their gifts, their allegiance, their submission, ready to be citizens of his kingdom, ready to heed his words, to receive from him, to live under his glorious rule. That is the gift that God has given to us. That's what should bring us and motivate us to bow down before him and worship him. Worship him. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't someone for us to coddle, someone for us to just take his name and refer to him every now and then. No, 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 that's not who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what he's come down here for, to save you from your sins and to lead you in the paths of righteousness, direct every thought that you have and every act that you do. Without him, we are totally living blind. But with him, we walk in the light as he is in the light. People of God, he's everything in the world to us. And God has given him to us. And here, finally, they show their great allegiance. They were told that when they found this king that has been born, to go back and tell Herod so that he could follow suit. They couldn't look into his heart, although they might have found it strange as to say, well, we're going, why isn't he coming with us? We're going, why aren't the Jewish leaders coming with us? So there might have been some inkling there that something is wrong here. But God reveals to them that they ought not to go back to Herod, but to go back another way, back home. So there was a risk that they took. There was a decision of allegiance. Were they going to have allegiance to this God that had directed them to this place, to this king that he had given? Were they going to show allegiance to him, or were they going to show allegiance to Herod, the king of that region, and take the dangers that came with it? Even though they didn't understand it all, God didn't say, well, you know, don't go back there because he's after. We're not told what other things God told. He just told them to go another way. And they did. They didn't say, oh, we'll just send a message to Herod and then we'll just carry on. No, no, no. They didn't send anything to Herod. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our allegiance is to be to him and to him alone. We belong to him, body and soul. Every idea that we have needs to be submitted to him so that we can follow him, that we can live under the shelter of his wings and receive the wonderful blessings of salvation that he has in store for all those that believe. People of God, this is the gospel is so powerful, it's so precious, it's so all-consuming. And so if the gospel isn't that to you, if you would never travel that far for the sake of the gospel, if you would not bow down yourself before God's Son and His Word, and honor Him in everything that you do, and obey Him in everything that you do, and show your allegiance to Him and only Him, not to anyone else, then you have not understood what God has done. And let me say, then you don't really have true faith. However small our faith may be, however infantile our faith may be, these things are not negotiable. The wise men weren't mature in the Christian faith, but their acts certainly manifested genuine faith. And so each of us has to begin in our own heart, and we have to ask ourselves, do the wise men of the East, are they alien to the way I believe? Are they alien? Their experience is so different from mine? I hope not. I hope not. I hope each and every one of us would have been in lockstep with them as they rejoiced and as they traveled and as they worshipped and furthermore as they went back to where they lived with this glorious gospel. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King of kings and Lord of lords, our Savior from sin. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might always live honoring him, showing our allegiance to him beyond everyone else. And Lord, that we might know what it is to live with the joy of forgiveness of sins, and live with a purpose to glorify him in all that we do. And our Father in heaven, we pray that that would show, just like the wise men were examples, that we too might be examples to our families, to our friends, to our state, to our nation, that Jesus Christ is a gift to us from heaven, to bring us salvation and to grant us peace. Our Father, hear our prayers and bless us further, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond.